It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, you know even less about baseball than you do about oil. Let's see how much you get wrong in this Barry Bonds story. Another one. This. Rick, is this more pandering to the male demographic? Tell me you're not going to start talking about sports every day.
I know. I'm a little nervous that we're actually getting a CNN sports commentator to come on.
It's because of emails like this. Well, this is the one I was talking about earlier. I read this email. Rick, Barry Bonds has taken more injections than a drug test subject at the OHSU primate lab. I keep waiting for his skin to turn green when he bats. There you go. That's all it is. All I know is things are going bad. Things are going bad, and there's television cameras, and he got pelted with something a few weeks ago. That's all I know about. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, we got Rick Emerson's Enemy of the State coming up later on. Dennis Pitsenbarger is going to be here. We got the top five coming up and so forth. And we will. Is there some bad funk still? Is that something that refrigerator out there?
Is it? It's like that weird chocolate coffee smell.
Well, is that thing you were shoving in my face this morning?
Yeah, well, I can't leave my food in there anymore because I put my little microwavable pizza and it smells like chocolate. Like rotting chocolate. It's terrible.
It's like rotting chocolate. This is, again, I walked into the hallway this morning and Sarah cost me with, and you really did back me all the way into a corner today. And were you like,
well, everyone kept asking me what smelled because they just left the refrigerator open for literally 10 seconds and it filled up the entire hallway with that smell.
Yeah, all right. I walk in and Sarah goes, "This is the smell I'm talking about." And then like shoves the TV dinner like right into my face. It's all kinds of. And now you're right. Now it's infiltrating the entire hallway. Now the entire hallway smells bad.
Well, I think you're right. I think someone put popsicles or something in there a couple of years ago, and then they just kind of melted into all the ice.
Tragic, isn't it?
All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? We got a couple emails we're going to read. And then later at the bottom of the hour, we have CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, who's going to be here. Let's see. let's see. We've got... Now I'm getting emails trying to give me... like prep sheets for the Barry Bonds. Okay, let's go around the room here. Does anybody know, because we've got this interview coming up at 2, because it seems like a thing that people care about, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
What do we know about Barry Bonds? All of us. Let's pool our knowledge right now.
I saw some people protesting him because they're like, Babe Ruth did it without the roids.
All right.
And they're comparing him to Babe Ruth, how he doesn't deserve him.
He plays for who? Anyone.
I don't know.
Who are you talking to?
Some athlete. He's trying to get collective answers.
I'm trying to gain knowledge so that we don't completely, because you know what it is? It's like we screwed that, what was that interview that I just ate crap on so spectacularly? It was the PC gamer thing.
Oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, it was terrible, and I clearly just had no idea what I was talking about. All right, let's see. Rick, he plays for San Francisco, and the team in San Francisco is the
Giants.
Bay Area Bombers.
Not the Bay Area Bombers. That's a roller derby team.
Obviously.
He plays for the... all right, if some... Okay.
Cardinals?
So hapless. This is why...
I don't think there's a Cardinal to be found.
This is why they don't give us mornings. All right, if somebody is able to fill in the gaps here, this is going to be called Prepping Rick for the Interview so that he can sound good for the CNN guy later on. It's 503-733-2... 970.
Well, you know, just as a side note, she did say that she was going to try and find somebody, and she got the phone number. So,
all right, well,
I don't know.
Well, it's a big story, though.
Yeah,
he might not even call.
503-733-2970. And what we'll do is, I'll just go through, and I'm gonna compile a list of the most of the things that I have to know about. Hey, look, we have three phone lines ringing.
Whoa!
That third phone line now works.
How odd! You should pick it up first.
Let's see if it works. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Justin. I got all the answers for Rick about Barry.
Oh, you want to talk to Rick? Hold on. Hi. Justin, how you doing?
I'm well.
All right, Justin. Okay. So this is where we are preparing me, the host of this radio program, so that I can sound like I know what I'm talking about when we speak to the CNN guy later on. Okay.
I heard your call for information on the radio.
All right.
What do you need, buddy?
All right, Barry Bonds, he plays baseball for a team.
Giants.
The Giants, the San Francisco...
He plays left field.
Hold on. San Francisco Giants left field.
Yeah.
Left field. White or black?
He's black.
Okay.
Black.
All right.
He's the son of Bobby Bonds, the Giants legend, and the godson of Willie Mays.
Really? Godson of Willie Mays. Hold on. Bobby Bonds, Willie Mays. Isn't a Willie May some sort of investment account? That's a Fannie Mae. Willie May. Willie May and Lester. All right. Okay.
Yeah, Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, you know.
All right. And so he is very near to Babe Ruth's home.
Yeah, he's one behind him right now. He's sitting on 713.
One behind to tie Babe Ruth's what record? Home run?
No, Babe Ruth is second behind Hank Aaron.
Ah, so he's going to tie Babe Ruth, and then he'll be tied for second.
Right.
Babe.
He ought to just jump into a water fill of a spear for a couple.
Yes, he ought to just go float in a tank. All right, excellent. Fantastic. And he did a lot of steroids?
Well, that's debatable. He's never tested positive for steroids.
So now why do they think he did them?
Well, have you seen him?
No, I never have. No, I didn't even. No, I had no idea. Remember the is he white or black question? I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. In my head, they all look like John Rocker for some reason.
Yeah, well, he's got no neck as opposed. He used to be a really skinny guy when he played for the Pirates.
Oh, so he sort of is like the Hulk, except his skin did not turn green.
That's correct.
Just sort of you wouldn't like Barry Bonds when he's angry, and then he just became a huge man.
Yeah, except he kind of talks like Mickey Mouse. So it would be like. You don't want to like Barry Bonds when he's angry.
That's fantastic. All right. All right. What was your name?
Justin.
Justin, thank you, sir. I appreciate your help.
No, sir.
Very welcome.
All right. There you go. See? This is fantastic. Now, what I'm going to do is later on, we do this CNN segment about the Barry Bonds. I will, who plays left field for the San Francisco Giants. Many people don't know about this legend that he is the godson of Willie May.
Somebody's going to call and say his tour bus broke down, and therefore he can't be with you today.
Who was that? Who was it that wouldn't show? That didn't call us because the tour bus broke down? Vince Neil. Vince Neil's pasty white ass. Hi, who's this? Okay, thank you.
I think that was him.
All right, there he is, Barry Bonds. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Rick. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. How can I? What do you know about Barry Bonds?
Well, there's rumors about steroid use.
All right.
But I wanted to know, why aren't you going to ask the CNN guy all the different words, the different words to go into the interview? Like, you could use rabbit and hopscotch and whatever.
Are you high?
No.
This is one of those conversations I don't understand anything about.
The carrot top interview, the Alyssa Milano one.
Oh, where we try to work in the phrases.
Right, where you try to work in the different words.
All right. I think we just
need to hassle celebrities.
I don't know. I don't want to screw the CNN guys. I got to talk to...
don't you think he might enjoy it?
Here's the thing.
See, if you don't know anything about baseball.
Here's the thing is the CNN guys, I got to talk to them and I got to deal with them in the future.
You think that they're not going to like you if you have them say a couple of words and play a little game? I think they might actually enjoy that.
I don't know. Instead
of it being a regular boring interview.
I get the feeling that I push my luck with some of those CNN guys as it is. So, all right.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Suggestion.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. What else do we have here? We've got this. Rick? Oh, I've lost my matrix. All right. I'm sorry. Are these more Barry Bonds and stuff? Okay, I'll do like two more, and then I got to read this thing.
All right.
And then later we're going to talk about David Blaine. Hi, who's this?
Hey.
Hey.
This is Troy here.
Hi. What's your name?
Troy.
Troy, how can I help you? All right, Troy, what do you got about Barry Bonds?
Well, let's see. He used to play for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
He, when he was a skinny man before he beefed up into a bulbous freak,
I'm going to use that phrase, bulbous freak. All right.
He played with a guy named Bobby Bonilla.
All right.
And they were known as the Killer Bees. So if you throw that out there.
So that made me look like I'm old school sports knowledge?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Excellent. All right.
That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Troy.
Yep.
We'll do one more here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Greg.
Hi, Greg, how you doing?
Not only is he accused of, like, steroids, but he's accused of injecting beef, like cow steroids, and using Clomid, which is a female fertility drug, to improve his eyesight. So
as somebody said, he basically is just a lab experiment from OHSU that's just gone with it.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. I mean, we're expecting him to, melt or combust any moment because of all the...
he really is he is the toxic Avenger.
And just ask the CNN guy about Barry Bonds' head size. It grew from like a 7.25 to about a 9 in a period of about, 3 years.
That doesn't even seem possible. Didn't it seem like your skull would just blow apart?
I guess not if you're willing to inject yourself with beef steroids. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe there comes a point where you just ought to lift a few more weights and cut back on your calories. You know what I mean?
You think so, Rick?
All right.
Good to have you back, by the way.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right,
there you
That's
go.
That's like Jerry Lewis. He's like a beach ball.
Yeah, but I mean,
John Travolta.
I don't think he was really going for that. I think that was unintentional.
Oh.
All right. Excellent. So there you go. So now we have determined. Now I sound like I know who Barry Bonds is. All right. It's fantastic. So at 2 o'clock, we'll see if we can roll with that. I'm going to read this really quickly. And then I don't have time probably to do anything else before we get a break, because we got the CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten coming up. Rick, I need the help that only you and your audience can offer. No, I don't need to know how to make heroin from the poppies sprouting in my yard. I need help recovering $8,000 worth of electronics and information that were stolen from my home. Sure, the cops have all the info, but what's that really going to do? I need to know the sketchy places to go to find my stuff. So far, we've toured St. John's. And gone to some of the stores there. I hear. Listen to this. We're also missing some Vicodin. We're missing digital cameras, a camcorder, a projector, some Vicodin, and a bag of chocolate chips. Please help us recover the digital photos and documentary footage my kids were working on. Blah blah blah. I know Tim will know about this. Thanks. So it probably is inappropriate for us to sit and on the air speculate about specifically where these items may have ended up. But I will say that it does seem like you are on the right path if you're in St. John's.
Yeah.
And sort of, sort of going to some of the seedier establishments there. Because the last time, and I don't know the name, but the last time I went there, the last time I went to St. John's for any length of time was before that Pietro's Pizza closed. And there was just like endless pawn shops with huge, gigantic, gaudy gold jewelry and paraphernalia up in the windows. That's it, man. And it's like you go in there and you just see stuff that is so clearly and obviously stolen. I mean, it's like you expect to go in there and have your own wallet gone by the time you walk out of the front. You expect them just to be selling you your own stuff before you even leave the store. So we all know, like, I used to have this music director. This is years ago. This music director was had a huge coke problem. And so bands would come to town, and you would see, like, a couple days after the band had passed through the radio station for the interview, you would see all of these CDs that were autographed and signed, to the radio station, and suddenly they would start appearing at the pawn shops all over Spokane. And her whole thing was just, like, to have the band sign the CDs, because then they were worth, like, three times the value. You know what I mean? So that's, I don't know. We'll post it on the, we'll post it on the website, and we'll see if you can, see if we can have any sent your way. Because there's pawn shops, and then there's flea markets. And not even the reputable ones, but you just see those fly-by-night flea markets where it's just like a tent. It's just like some guy out front. Looks like that junk dealer in Phantom Menace. So keep an eye out for those. Sarah was, didn't you say you went to some flea market where they were selling?
Yeah.
Like, what, even the whole stereo?
Oh, my God. It was, yeah, Nate and I went up to, we like to go to flea markets on the weekends. So we went to this one. We have to pay $1 to get in.
Oh, is that the one in Gresham?
Yes. That's exactly where it is. Yeah. And so, you go in and they're just selling CD books with people's actual names on
them.
That's
fantastic.
It's awful.
It's awful, but I mean, it's...
No, Nate was over there looking at some of the electronics and I pulled him aside. I'm like, I don't want you looking at any of that stuff. I'm like, do this for me. I'm so uncomfortable with this. So we didn't look at any of the billions of cell phones. And they just had, like, CD faceplates. Not the actual CD player. They were selling the faceplate that someone had stolen from the car.
Which begs the question, who even buys that? Look, what I need is one of those...
I don't know.
You have a Kenwood 74 faceplate?
They had some random crap there.
It's like when you go into a pawn shop and you see the wedding set. Like, you see the rings. It's like the his and the hers ring. And, you know, that's only two things. That's like a home invasion theft right there. Or that's just three things. Home invasion, bad divorce because you came home and the milkman was on top of your wife. Or C,
dead.
Dead? Dead? Or I was going to say drug habit, but drug habit could lead to death. So there's that as well. All right, so there you
don't
go.
We have the boxes of broken Jesus candles too.
Well, we'll post it on the we'll post it on the website. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get this out break out of the way so that we're not running behind for once. We're going to break here. We're going to come back. We've got CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten coming up from Manhattan. We're talking about David Blaine. We'll go back to the City Desk with Tim Riley. We'll do the top five. We'll do Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People, the inaugural edition later on. Dennis Putzenberger is going to be here as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Am I under arrest or should I get some more? Well, you was doing 55 and 54. Lost the registration, it's the body of the car. You carrying a weapon on you. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Dude, my brother-in-law is always picking up tools. Like air tools, stereo equipment, video hardware for $20. He'll always say things like, check out this Xbox 360 I just picked up. Oh, I'll say, where did you get it? He will respond, oh, a buddy of mine didn't want it anymore and sold it to me for $20. I'm just curious, how can I get the cops to arrest him and throw me into a prison. And still get my sister to keep talking to me. And everybody knows that guy, too. Everybody knows that guy that either has a lot of stolen stuff or is always wanting to sell you a lot of stolen stuff. Bad karma, man.
Smoking a cigarette in some alleyway somewhere?
Yeah, you don't want any part of that. All right, 503-733-2970. Coming up, Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. We'll do the top five. Dennis Putzenberger, like us at 3. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Gary Baumgarten.
Good afternoon.
Joining us from Manhattan. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
All right. So you were there for... Were you there for David Blaine last night, or is
you know
this
what?
Like a...
You know what? Unlike David Blaine, who left his fans down, I could not let the Rick Emerson Show down by staying home. So
you were actually
had to go out there.
You were actually there.
I had to go.
Fantastic.
You shamed me into it. Yep.
Well, I'm just saying that people come to expect the best from you. People don't expect anything less than 100% effort from you.
I know, that's the problem.
So and then, but you went all that way, and then he wussed out.
He wussed. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say he wussed out. He just didn't have the strength to do the finale to the end.
Uh-huh.
But they had to go in there and pull him out. He was unconscious and convulsing, and his hands were shriveled up.
Here's a really dumb question. I don't understand, because they were saying he had, like, liver damage and, like...
And kidney, they say now.
Kidney damage. I don't understand how this happens from just sitting in water.
I don't understand it either.
Do you suppose they're just making it all up because they know that we don't know?
Could be. I don't know. They say today that his skin looks better. And the liver and kidneys are returning to normal functionality already.
And so what is the deal that he floated in the water for like a week, and then they put manacles on him, and his whole deal was he had to hold his breath for 9 minutes and then do something or other?
Remove the chains and handcuffs, which weighed about 15 pounds, which he was able to do.
I only really watched the recap of it, and it was only after I learned that he wasn't able to do it.
Right.
But Sarah did note that there were, as she describes it, big chunks of David Blaine sort of floating around in the tank.
Was that water as chunky as it looked on TV?
Sort of like an egg.
You might have been able to see that better on television than I could see it myself.
She claimed it had sort of an egg drop soup kind of a thing going on.
Oh, boy, that really gives a nice image.
I'm just
the Chinese I was going to have today. I wouldn't doubt it because, his hands, there are layers of skin that are missing from his hands and feet. I mean, I don't know. They said he may have some nerve damage at the ends of his extremities, which is going to make it difficult for him to do his magical tricks, perhaps, in the future. So he was putting it all on the line. But here's the thing about this guy. His doctor says that, against the advice of the doctors, he checked himself out of the hospital today, and he was crying because he let his fans down. Now, he was holding back the tears as they removed him from the tank last night. Now he says, according to his doctors, that he's going to do it again.
No. This is just. Let me ask you this: how were? Because when he did that thing of like living in a cage or whatever he did in London, didn't he do something where he lived in a box or some crap at the outside?
I think he lived in encased in ice and stayed in a coffin, and I think he stayed in a cage over the Thames River. Yeah.
How were the people in New York when he was living in this this sphere? Were they? Because the people in New York, I think they have a low tolerance for for.
Yeah, some of them thought it was cool, and some of them thought it was very idiotic, and a lot of them thought that the venue. I think we may have discussed this already, but that the venue at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts was inappropriate. And however, last night there were several thousands of people out there who were very much in his corner, and they did not seem so disappointed that he didn't make it. They thought that it was a great attempt on his part.
All right, there you go. So let me know if you hear anything about him doing this again, so I can be sure to avoid the TV.
I'm going to suggest him that he do it in Portland.
Thank you. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why you go the extra mile for us.
That's right.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Bergman. Thank you, Gary. All right.
How about the
he couldn't wait to be done. I'm done.
He was out late last night.
Yeah,
oh, like a gaggle of chimpanzees in a cage. That would be a good stunt. I guess not.
It's called a zoo. what would they do exactly?
Well, he would attempt to survive whatever.
Oh, he'd be in the cage.
Yes.
With a bunch of chimpanzees.
He'd have to battle the monkeys.
I thought you meant it would just be like
no.
Monkeys.
No.
I was gonna say they've done that. We have that now. So Dave, it would just be David Blaine and a bunch of rabid chimpanzees.
Yeah.
Well, anything that ends with that sentence, blah, 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 in a cage with a bunch of chimpanzees, I'd be all over that. Let's see, it's 503-733-2970. By the way, two things. A, remember yesterday we were talking about Steven Seagal and how Steven Seagal and his blues band were coming to town and he was going to be doing an in-store at Music Millennium?
Uh-huh.
Jason from Music Millennium says, minutes after you talked about Steven Seagal, he wussed out. He will no longer be doing an in-store because he's afraid that anyone who comes to get their thing signed at Music Millennium will then not buy tickets for his blues performance. He is correct in that assessment, by the way. So now we have no choice but to go to Dante's. And then we have this, Jason from Music Millennium once again. Thanks for being here for... Listen to this. Thanks for being here for me, he says. It's lonely in the music business. In-store update. Steven Seagal has not changed his mind, that bastard, but May 19th, George Clinton stopping by to sign your stuff. So there you go. So George Clinton, the grand imperial the overlord of funk from the planet the Booty Shaker.
Do you think he'll sign my copy of PCU?
Oh, probably, yeah, because they used Tear the Roof Off the Sucker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rather have it be Hillary Clinton.
There really ought to be some sort of Bill Clinton, Roger Clinton, George Clinton, the master mix album or something somebody puts out. I'd buy that. All right, let's see. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the lot of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk news beat. Tim Riley reporting. Now, guess who's pregnant now?
Wait. I don't know.
Tori Spelling was spotted shopping for baby things at Le Petit Tisseur, the Los Angeles store for tanks favored by celebrities including Britney Spears, Tom Cruise, and Katie Holmes. She was looking at things like cribs in a way that made it clear that she wasn't looking to buy things for someone else.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she's pregnant. She's several months along now, I believe. When called to comment, a rep laughed, saying, I have no idea. I thought you were going to ask if she's married or not.
Here's the worst part about that. Is that when you think about Tori Spelling being pregnant, the very worst part is the realization that means that some man has looked at her and said, I'd really like to have sex with that right there. That thing in front of me.
Because I can't find a horse.
That's exactly what it is, man. It's like you got to get yourself a bridle and a pair of blinders if you do that. You don't know that. By the way, speaking of celebrities who look odd, you want to go to SarahXDillon.com because not only has she got that Jennifer Lopez picture up, but she's got. Remember that time, long time ago, like a week ago, when Ashley Simpson and Jessica Simpson were the ugly sister and the hot sister, respectively? How the worm has turned, my friend. One simple little nose job, it was like a nose that was blocking out the sun, and now that the nose has been whittled away
to... Well, then with the Jessica Simpson and the hair, orange
she's got
hair.
And she's got a weird...
Like floppy boob.
Boob sag thing going on? Yeah, check out, best nose job ever on Ashley Simpson.
Seriously.
It really is one of those things where it's... It's
that
like,
she has a perfect nose now.
She really does look hot in all aspects now.
Somebody nailed it in the comments on my site. They said that she was just like hard as nails trailer trash in that pretty kind of way.
Totally. Yeah. So if you had to get plastic surgery done, not that you need it, what would it be?
Probably nose.
Your nose is fine, baby.
It's round.
No, but it's cute. It's a button nose.
No, I think it'd be kind of cool to have a smaller nose.
Corn cob pipe.
I'd be scared though. I've made the mistake of passing the Discovery Channel and seeing them sawing away at people's noses.
See, that's what I see. With me, it's the nose too, because I got the huge nose here. But it's like, Howard had that done. Like he, it's just it's the phraseology. It's like rhinoplasty.
Yeah, like just and like all these metal things being shoved up your nose. I just couldn't.
And
do
it's
it.
When they talk about like he talked about Howard Stern said he said I had my nose shaved down a little bit, and it's like the idea of someone shaving parts of my nose away. It's like I can't even bring myself to get that LASIK surgery done. And
like
that's
one of those wood planes.
A second and a half. That's what I'm talking about. It's like you just picture a guy with a planing handle and an awl from shop class just going to work on your proboscis.
See, I bet Tim wouldn't change anything about himself.
No, Tim's perfect.
All right, I won't.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Ladies and gentlemen, this little warning, the following story is more than likely a lie. Tom Cruise is back to his heroic ways. The action star, who several years ago was credited with saving a series of people's lives, is being lauded for another act of bravery, this time coming to the rescue of a journalist. A television reporter was knocked to the ground and almost trampled by a throng trying to reach Cruise, according to the star. And apparently, Cruise dropped to his knees to assist the damsel. Are you okay? Are you okay? Cruise asked, according to the eyewitness account. Please, everyone step back. This woman needs help. I'm going to help you, okay? Unquote. The woman was visibly shaken, but thanks to Mr. Cruise, she's okay.
I don't understand. He rescued somebody?
A journalist who was knocked to the ground.
Okay.
Who works for the star.
Yeah, whatever.
You won't find Madonna's songs on her brother's iPod. I don't listen to my sister's music, really, said Christopher. I just hear too much of it. He also said her attempts to convert him to Kabbalah failed. She took me to her house, and all the teachers were there, and I just listened. There are some really good things in it. You have to take it and make it your own. But being a Catholic, make it work, if it does work. But everything that's organized can become very cultish. It got that way for me, so for a long time I sort of stopped. I do not care for Kabbalans.
I don't understand anything about this story.
It's Madonna.
Hi, Rick Emerson shows us.
Hey, it's Rob.
Hey, Rob, what's up?
I mean, I feel like I've been ripped off.
How so?
I was promised numerous things. I was promised 9 minutes or death. There was no death. I was promised being chained in 8 places and an escape. He had a key. There was no escape.
Well, at any time that there's a bunch of guys standing there ready to pull you out.
You know? Want a trick? You know, stick that guy in the bottom of the Willamette River for about 24 hours.
That's
and see
what I'm
how
saying.
Well he does.
Or just have him live in a crack den somewhere. You know what I mean?
That is St. John.
This is the whole thing. Is that I think it's like I was saying yesterday. I think that sketch comedy. I was talking about SNL and how sketch comedy just feels dated. It feels like a whole form of comedy that is from another era. We've moved past it. So it is with things like this because you know that nobody's ever in any real danger. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, it's more exciting to see a guy hanging upside down. You know, with a rope burn. When he's strapped in a straitjacket from a crane trying to get out.
That's also that
danger.
If you really want to impress me, here's what they got to do with these with the David Blaine type guys. They got to take him and they got to have a remote camera somewhere. They got to have him and a camera filming him, but the camera has got to be, you know, he's got to be like a good mile away from anybody who can help him. You know, they put him and a camera in the middle of the desert. They set him on. He sets himself on fire while manacled, and he's got 30 seconds to get out of it before he burns to death. And the closest fire department is like an hour and a half in the opposite direction.
And just put some microphones about 100 yards away so you can catch the scream.
That's what I'm saying. You set it up, and then you leave. He's there where no one can come to save him.
You know, at least the daredevils, you know, they used to jump cars and stuff. They'd wipe out. They'd go to the hospital.
That evil Knievel, he laughs at this guy. There's no. I don't ever feel like anybody's in danger here. It's like watching NASCAR. You got to know that somebody could snuff it at any moment.
And I feel the most stupid as I sat and watched that stupid special last night.
Yeah, I didn't.
2 hours of my life.
I'm happy that freaking Baumgarten went and sat outside. I just watched the replay on Yahoo once I knew that he was. Once I just waited. It's like with the Oscars.
There was people in the crowd like David Blaine's number one, and you know John 3:16 signs, and like what is this? Like
all paid extras.
Yeah, no, those are just paid people. Those are the same people that they pay to stand outside the Michael Jackson courthouse and like weep openly and touch the hem of his garment.
He's innocent.
All right, I'm ready. There you go. It's Rob. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Rick, it's not Willie May, it's Willie Mays. It is also Wade Boggs. By the way, Johnny Mathis is still black. All right, there you go. Thank you.
And so is Willie Mays.
You say Willie Mays, and I just picture, who's that guy? Willie Mays and Lester. Who's the... Isn't that it, the guy with the wooden ventriloquist puppet doll thing?
What?
No. That's
Who is that? There's some guy named Willie, and he's got a little.
Oh, you're thinking about
a happy little wooden friend.
Fibber McGee.
No, I'm not. I'm not talking about Fibber McGee.
Oh,
let's move on.
Oh, Jerry, what's his name with a puppet?
Jerry with the puppet.
I have no idea what we're talking about. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, am I back?
We'll do one more, and then we'll do the enemy of the people thing, and then the top five.
Tom Cruise is reportedly...
What is it, every Tom Cruise in every story?
I know, just this week I can't get away from it.
Is this like some weird surrealist thing where he's actually like breaking into other stories?
Is it
going to be like that? Is it going to be like that final episode of, it's going to be like the final episode of the thing with the... Never mind, just move on.
Well, he's reportedly pushing fiancée Katie Holmes through a grueling fitness regime to get her in fit for their wedding, apparently. The actor has allegedly signed his fiance up to a Buff Brides exercise course to help her shed several pounds. Katie, who's 27, gave birth to the couple's daughter just 2 weeks ago, and is said to be proud of Tom's determination to keep her in shape. However, Tom's efforts have failed to impress Katie's father, Martin, who has blasted his future son-in-law for pushing the Dawson's Creek actress to get in shape so soon after childbirth. He told Britain's Reveal magazine, "My daughter needs rest, relaxation, and recuperation. Katie is already doing exercises to build up her back and shoulders, and I simply can't go along with what's happening." End quote.
Okay.
But the brunette's personal trainers have full confidence in the pre-wedding mission. She has great motivation. The wedding is on the fast track. We're going to get Katie into amazing shape. It's all systems go.
See, this is the unnerving thing about these stories. Now, there's no Katie wants... When is the last time anybody actually heard from Katie Holmes?
I don't think she's allowed to speak.
I wonder if it's some sort of a bizarre Malaysian tongue removal that they've done. Doesn't seem like it. I'm trying to think back to the last time... Two things. That the last time I heard some statement come out from her... And B, the last time I saw her actually moving her mouth speaking on television. I can't even remember it. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Subject line of this, it's Rick Dude. It's Willie it's Willie Tyler and Lester. It was like a Reading Rainbow type thing, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Back in the day. This show is so ill-informed about everything. This is, you hear that phrase about, like, the one guy, there's everybody knows a little about something, and all of us know a lot about a little.
I'm still trying to figure out the guy's name with the wooden puppet.
It's Willie Tyler and Lester. And then this email, I'm reading this now off the page. Rick Dude, it's Willie Tyler and Lester. Willie is the black guy. Lester is the friggin' puppet. Signed, Mike Black Guy in Portland. His business cards say that. Hello, I'm Michael, the black man from Portland. I've been here to... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Storm.
Storm, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm rolling, sister. What do you got?
Oh, I just wanted to say about the whole David Blaine thing. I only saw whatever replays on the news today.
Right.
I didn't even bother wasting my time watching that. But the whole thing of him failing, it was really dramatic. There's all these reports that he hurt himself. That's part of the whole thing. And now he's going to come back, do it again, and be successful.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of
that's a good idea.
Did you ever see that retarded dude, mind freak, that goth guy who was all, like, jerseyed out and doing all these life-risking type tricks? Did you ever see that guy?
I don't know.
He had a TV show for a minute, but it was kind of like watching a car accident in slow motion.
I don't know. When was this?
It was, it was on some cable thing, and he's this really dorky, like, Hesher guy from New Jersey, and he was doing these really, they were really good tricks, involving fire and falling of long distances, elephants walking on his head, stuff like that. But if it was a very, very, very dangerous life-risking kind of thing,
right,
physically, his crew would be like, we don't want him to do it, man. We just think, you know, this is really a bad idea.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of back in the day, like in the 60s, when James Brown would do these concerts. And Brown had this thing he would do where he would go down and he would, like, slam down on the ground and, like, you know, onto his knees with a microphone. And he would always incorporate this one thing where he went down and supposedly hurt his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And his like, peeps, his men would come out and they would pick him up and they would hoist him up. And they would and he's, like, hobbling and limping as they're taking him off stage. And then he would tear himself away from them, rush back to the microphone, and, like, go down to the floor again, giving it all for the people. And and his men's job was to be horrified.
Yeah.
No, James.
Exactly.
James, you can't do it again. He'd be like, no, I got to give it to the people, you know?
Yep. Yeah. No, it's a big ploy. He's going to make a big stink about, oh, my God, I let you down.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be like, we don't want him to do it. No, David, no, you'll hurt yourself.
I think
he'll do it. He'll be successful, and everyone will be amazed. Bunch of BS.
I think you ought to incorporate this into the Storm and the Ball show. You hold your breath for some elongated period of time.
I already do that.
I was just going to say, and you can probably figure out the other half of that equation. All right. Thank you, Storm. All right. There you go.
All right. Well, looking forward to it. I'm glad you're on the air, baby. I can't say it enough.
Thank you, sister. Stormlarge.com is the website there. Stormlarge, Storm and the Balls. All right. But I'm just going to read this email. Then we're going to do this bit. And we'll do the top five. This email comes to us, as so many of them do, from Aaron.
Hold me.
The best part is watching Sarah cringe every time I play this. Subject line, Willie and Puppets. Rick, you were thinking about Willie Tyler and Lester. I know this because I sadly fancied myself a ventriloquist way back in the day. I owned a Lester doll from the 1985 Sears catalog. I remember being annoyed when I couldn't roll his eyes because my parents wouldn't kick in to buy the deluxe Lester. You just have the stock Lester where his eyes are super glued. Like all childhood dreams, I gave up on Lester and set him on fire just to watch him melt. There you go. There's just Aaron Geek in the city.
Me.
Thank you.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Good times. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for an exciting new bit on the Rick Emerson Show. Let's give it up for the inaugural edition of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. This edition is for whoever blocks off those parking meters downtown. You know, the ones no one can ever use because they've got mysterious red hoods put over them. No one knows what the red hoods are for. No one knows why they're there. All we know is that if you even so much as thinking about parking in one of those slots, a fat man who can never be fired from his job will appear with his ticket book and make your life a living hell, all the while holding a smug little grin on his fat little face, a face that seems to scream for all the world, punch me, hurt me, make me beg for mercy like the pig-faced social refuse that I am. Don't get me wrong, I'll pay for parking. I'll pay for parking. I will not pay for the upkeep and maintenance of parking spaces no one can use. And would it be too much trouble to at least make up an excuse, huh? At least have the common decency to lie to me. Make believe that there's a reason. Tell me something. Anything. Ebola. Michael Jackson's in town. Tell me the meters aren't working. I mean, you'd be right at least half the time, probably. But no, they are working. They're just not available. They're not being worked on. They're not being fixed. They're not even being used by anybody else. See, that's the thing. If they even had government cars parked there, at least you'd be honest, right? You'd be upfront about your motivations and desires and keeping those for yourself. But they're always empty. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, if I were a less rational, grounded person, I might think it was all kind of some perverse power trip, some way for the government to constantly be poking and prodding and irritating everyday citizens, some way to keep us off balance, angry, aware that we have no power against the vast tyranny of the state. But that's only for today. And someday, things will change. Someday, we the people will extract a fierce and terrible justice against you. Someday, retribution will be swift, and necks will crack. And you, whoever you are, you who puts the red hooded covers over the parking meters, you will be among the very first against the wall, because you are an enemy of the people, and you will pay. Thank you. Here's your top five. for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Metal Month all month long on VH1 Classic. And as they always do, they've boiled everything down, they've coalesced it. They have epitomized it all in a list. In this case, the top 40 metal songs of all time. We will be doing the top 5 plus an honorable mention. For more on this, let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
These are the top 5 metal songs of all time according to VH1 Classic. With honorable mention going to Kiss, Detroit Rock City.
This is the opening. This is the opening track from Destroyer. Get down. Also Dennis Pittenberger's ringtone. It's a fantastic way to open a record. The only problem with this is, like so many great theatrical songs from the 70s, it starts with like a minute and a half of like noise and crap and sound effects and stuff you don't even care about. It takes almost 2 minutes to get to the actual song. Great song, though. This song is written about a kid who died on the way home from a Kiss concert in like 1973. They were on the, I think, the Dress to Kill tour. They called it Detroit Rock City because Detroit latched on to Kiss before anybody else, even before New York. Even before any of the other cities in America, Detroit really grabbed those guys. That's where they recorded Alive, too. Cobo Hall in Detroit. Counting down the top 5 metal songs of all time.
Number 5, Judas Priest. You've Got Another Thing Coming.
Yeah. Off the Screaming for Vengeance album. Listen to that. Fantastic. Young and kind of proud.
Records game.
Thank you, Bill Gates. Listen to that.
The key should do it, Dale.
I'm not going to make any cheap jokes about Rob Halford and his Village People costume. Because, you know, this is the loudest, best, baddest-ass thing ever.
And
Riley.
Number 4, AC/DC, Back in Black.
You know, the great thing about this song is that it's one of those songs that from the very beginning, you just hear that right there, and everybody knows this. Everybody knows that introduction. Everybody knows that little guitar progression. So simple. It's so basic. It was just so legendary. Not the lead-off track of the album of the same name. That'd be Hell's Bells, but still. And you want to talk about an album that sort of presaged in so many ways the rap metal hybrids of later years. Because this is so rhythmic and so rap-like in some ways. That's why this record gets sampled so often. That's why there's so many mashups and so many mixtapes that use this record. AC/DC really is the only hard rock you can dance to. Probably the most rhythmic hard rock band of all time. Counting down the top 5 metal songs of all time according to VH1 Classic.
Number 3, Metallica, The Master of Puppies.
There really should be some comics or called Master of Puppies. I don't even... I got nothing to... I can't even top that. Well, what else? What can you say, man? It's the title track from the greatest metal album of all time, probably. It just depresses me to listen to it.
Number two, Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle.
Everybody my age, listen to that. Listen to that right there. Everybody my age has the same story about being on the couch. You're sitting there, you're drinking your Jolt Cola or whatever. Maybe you've got one or more illicit substances floating around the house or through your veins, and you hear this song coming out of your television. You're there on a Saturday night, you're watching Headbangers Ball. You're up to your eyeballs in Dokken and Winger Records, and then suddenly this starts coming out of the speaker. It didn't sound like anything you'd ever heard in your life. Welcome to the jungle. He's going to be 20 years old next year. Not even possible. And I don't say that just because it's like a my generation thing. I'm under no illusions that I'm still 17 years old. It's just that this record still sounds, unlike so many other things from this era, this record just still sounds so intense and so fresh. And it doesn't sound dated at all. Wow, what a fantastic song. We got some Guns N' Roses, so-called, news that we'll get to in the next hour. Counting down the top five metal songs of all time, according to VH1 Classic.
Number one, The Black Sabbath with Iron Man.
So ludicrous. Such a ridiculous song. It's so great, though, man. Because really, if you were going to create a song that sounded like a gigantic iron creature slowly crushing a European countryside under his feet, a giant robot walking slowly, plodding along, killing all humans, this is exactly what it would sound like. Come on, you can't top that. I don't care who you are. If you don't like this, if this ain't metal, you can get the hell out of my country. The fantastic thing is how this and an Iron Giant movie both came from the same book. And that horrible Pete Townsend opera from a couple years ago. Black Sabbath, they are the Rosetta Stone. They are the mother vein from which all heavy metal came. And the whole maxim seemed to be just play as slowly and ploddingly as possible. It helped that Tony Iommi only had like two fingers. All right, there you go. Top five metal songs of all time, according to VH1 Classic. We'll do this. Come back with Dennis Pitzenbarger around the corner. Like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendry show at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You don't go anywhere.